When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are listening to Claret and Blue, an Aston Villa podcast brought to you by Birmingham Live.
Hello and welcome to the Claret and Blue podcast. My name is Dan Rowlandson. I'm joined, as ever, by Matt Kendrick. Matt, how are you?
I'm all right. I'm happy. We're back.
Not seen you for a while.
You saw me in the park before.
Let's not talk about that. Let's not talk about that. I've not seen you online for a while. Me and James have done a few together, but yeah, it's nice to speak to you.
Yeah, I wasn't here last week, was I, for the 4-3 against Southampton.
He only turns up when we're winning.
Yeah, it's probably about right, actually. That, yeah. So hopefully you'll be seeing a lot more of me.
Great win, first of all. Let's just give some general thoughts. Aston Villa, Arsenal 0, Villa 3, and a cracking night at the Emirates.
Yeah, it's, you know, your white A's for a win against Arsenal come along and two come along at once, you know, both of which we're not allowed anywhere near, as we know.
We should have beat them at their place last year as well, let's not forget.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Villa, listen, I know they've had a couple of kind of aberrations against Leeds and against Southampton, but I do think that Villa seem a little bit more rugged and a little bit more streetwise, hopefully. I'm sure we'll say that after the victories and moan that they're not after the defeats, as is our way. But no, it was a kind of masterclass all the way through, wasn't it? Even when, I don't know what order you want to discuss the talking points, might as well do it chronologically.
Yeah, go for it.
Even when that kind of 45 seconds, was it, when that opening goal was disallowed? Well, it's 45 seconds when it was scored. I think it was about 28 minutes when it was ruled out.
But only 3 minutes injury time at half time, though.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm, you know, I've run out of fingers to do the maths on. What was your take on it?
I thought we played very, very well. I've not been that impressed by Arsenal. I say this often, and it's almost a little bit of a football cliche at this point, but you never know what Arsenal is going to turn up. Sometimes they play against you and they're brilliant and they look very good, and then other times they look like an average mid-table team at best. But I don't think it was so much of that this tonight, because we've played them twice now and they've not been great in two games, but I thought we were really good in places tonight. I think we controlled the pace of the game well, and we looked like we were... you know, we set the tempo, especially in the second half after going 2-0 up. It was like, right, this is Villa's game to take control of now. Someone also just said we beat them 3-2 in pre-season as well, which is interesting. We've got Arsenal's card at the moment. But I think as much as you could say for other games, oh, well, so-and-so had a bad day or whatever, or so-and-so was missing through injury, we've played a strong Arsenal side there and been very good and beat them comfortably. And that's only a really positive sign for Villa, obviously.
You say that about Arsenal, though. Doesn't that sum up the whole of the Premier League being Jekyll and Hyde?
Yeah.
I think draws, I mean, they are for Villa, but draws should be banned now. Draws are overrated, so let's have a, you know, let's. I love it, though. I love the way the Premier League is.
Yeah, I do. Should we have a quick look at the table before we move on, just to see where Villa are?
Yeah.
Villa in sixth. A familiar position for Villa fans for 10 years ago in the O'Neill days, back up in sixth, 15 points, three off the top of the table with a game in hand over everybody in that top half. Man City also a game in hand, obviously, because we play them. But if we win that game in hand, or we'd played level games with everybody else and won that game in hand, we'd potentially be sitting top of the table after 8 games played, which is an incredible turnaround. I still can't quite get my head around what's going on at the moment.
I think if Villa did get to the top of the table, I'd hope they wouldn't do what Southampton have done. Have you seen it? The Stop the Count t-shirt.
Yeah. Oh, I've t-shirts as well.
We've got I mean, the tweet was
I saw fine. The tweet, yeah, I saw the tweet.
And they went to the top of the league momentarily, but they've released a range of commemorative leisure wear now, which I think is a little bit... That's not me being bitter because they beat us, but I think it is a little bit small time.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of talking points I want to get through tonight. We've only got 20-25 minutes, and there's a lot of comments coming through saying great performance, really well played, etc. Someone just said, how the hell did we lose to Leeds? We were on fire tonight. I will come back to that later, but let's, like you said, try and keep it chronological order. We'll start with that VAR goal that wasn't given. 47 seconds, I think it was. McGinn fires in an absolute rocket with a great build-up as well to the goal. Not given because Barkley is deemed to be offside and in the line of Leno's sight. Not quite sure I can get on board with that because he hit it at such ferocity. I don't think even if he could see it, it was past him before he could even react anyway. I think that's very, very harsh to rule that out, even if I take away my Aston Villa bias. What do you think? Obviously, yeah. Ultimately, now, it doesn't matter anyway, but that's the sort of thing that, forget what happened in the result, Villa going ahead at the Emirates 1-0 after 47 seconds and having it ruled out for something that the naked eye probably wouldn't have seen, that could change the course of a game. Thankfully for Villa, it didn't.
Yeah, if it had have done, I'd have probably kind of whipped up the level of injustice a bit more. But I don't know. We've seen so many, haven't we? I mean, back Patrick Bamford yesterday, bless him.
That was a joke as well. That was ridiculous.
You know, that was at least in this injustice or potential injustice, Barkley was offside.
So yeah.
That bit's beyond dispute. It's the fact, was he interfering? I think he was slightly in the line of vision of the goalie. I admit that McGinn hit the strike with such force that I don't think he'd have stopped it anyway. But who cares, Dan?
Yeah, exactly. There's a point here from...
It didn't affect Villa's performance in a negative way. Villa just kept at it. And rather than feeling sorry for themselves, just made sure that they were able to kind of, you know, get the result their superiority deserved.
Yeah, there's a point here that Sam says, Andy Gray, on Being Sports, had a fair point. The keeper moved his arm and reacted, so he could see he could see the ball. So he got away with on there, and like you said, if it had changed the course of the game, we'd have been sitting here, and I was prepared to be sitting here thinking, right, well, we'll go hard on the VAR thing if Villa lose here, but ultimately it doesn't matter anyway because Villa were so good after that. We could have had 4 or 5 regardless of that goal, to be honest. I thought we played really, really well in spells of that, and I said this to my dad as the game's going on. We've talked before about what's kind of Villa's ceiling, how far can they go, how far away are they from getting back towards the top or the middling range of the Premier League or higher. And if Villa play like they do in those little spells where they look really good for a prolonged period of 90 minutes, a prolonged period of 90 minutes, they stayed injury free, they added a couple more additions, I don't think Villa are already that far away from being a top 8 side in the Premier League. I know that's getting a bit carried away and all the rest of it, but in spells, we look very, very good. And to change around, just in 2020, if you go back to March 2020, we were terrible. We were like, even early July when football first came back, it was only those last 4 games of lockdown when we really made a difference. The change around has been remarkable, and I don't know quite what Dean Smith and co have done, but they deserve a big round of applause for it.
Yeah, man, I don't know what a top 8 team looks like now. Does it mean Crystal Palace? Does it mean Southampton? I'm not sure. I just think that Villa pose a threat, don't they? You know, Villa score, with the exception, how many times? There can't be too many games when they've not scored. Was it just that Leeds game? Is that the only game Villa haven't scored in this year?
I think so. I think so.
Well, they're rattling in the goals at a fair old rate. I'm going to be a very, very cliched, boring manager, really. Just take it a game at a time and let's enjoy the ride. What I do like is Villa's habit of going into international breaks on the back of a resounding win, so you can kind of milk it for a full fortnight.
Was it Liverpool before the last one?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that, I must admit.
Somebody in the comments said that it's gone past now because a lot of people watching, a lot of comments coming through, so thank you for that. But they said something like, it's not just the recent wins, it's who those teams are against, so Leicester, Liverpool and Arsenal. Is this a different Villa we're seeing now, that we can take the game to the big boys and we don't look scared of the big boys? I mean, are Arsenal a big boy? Debate about Leicester, whatever. They're top of the league. But do you know what I mean? Like, it seems like a different Villa that we're not scared of anybody now.
Can you leave in the comments what constitutes a big boy? leave in the comments what is a big boy. I don't think Villa are scared of anybody particularly. I mean, these wins now. I mean, how many points have Villa got? So that's 15 points.
15.
And how many did we finish last season with? 34.
I think it was 34. Yeah, maybe 35. So we're pretty much halfway to what we were last season already.
So yeah, it's just a little bit of kind of. I think the fact that Villa already have a little, you know, several points in the bag, and they don't have a kind of a demanding public to play in front of them. Yeah. Front of, I think the shackles are off to a degree.
Yeah, when you look at the league table, we're already 12 points clear of Albion in the bottom three. So we're a four-game swing of having a terrible run of form and the bottom three having a great run of form for us to be in any kind of danger. I don't foresee Villa being in any relegation trouble this season. I know that's very risky to say, seven games into a Premier League season, but I just don't think that would be the case at all. And I think the projections of where we assess Villa every week have to keep changing. We said at the start of the season, if Villa finished 15th, that'd be a good year. Seven games in, I think if Villa finished 15th, I'd be unhappy with that now.
Yeah, I don't think. Let's set our sights high. Let's say 12th.
Yeah, I'd take that. Yeah, I think 12th is a good season, but I don't think Villa are a million miles away from being a top 10 side this season. I know I'm talking big here, but I'm intrigued to see what the comments say. Maybe I'm getting carried away, but that's football, isn't it?
It's just a mad, mad league, isn't it? And if it does all settle back into its natural order in a couple of months' time, at least we'll have those points in the bag.
Yeah,
give us the head start against the kind of Premier League newbies or the consolidators like we were last season.
I think James said something similar like that, yeah, if things do change, that Villa have already got a bit of a cushion. I tweeted a stat that I'd prepared at half-time in possibility of jinxing the result, but Villa have now won three away games this season and are yet to concede a goal on the road. Villa only managed two away wins in the whole of the 19-20 Premier League campaign. Do you remember who those two wins were against? There's a little quiz for you.
Two away wins last year.
So only two away wins all season last season, and we've already got three this year. The three this year are Fulham, Arsenal and Leicester.
Was it Norwich and Burnley?
It was Norwich and Burnley, yeah. Good knowledge. But that's a good turnaround, isn't it? Because Villa struggled on the road last year, and that was a big part of it, of saying Villa's away form is hurting them here. Whereas this season, it looks like home and away, we're going to be decent this year.
Yeah, it was interesting hearing... I've lost my train of thought.
I'm just going to leave you in silence to be awkward and try and remember.
Carry on, mate. Carry on.
let's see what these comments.
Interesting hearing the voices in my head that completely throw me off track.
There's 883 people watching, so thank you for tuning in on this Sunday evening. Luke Bevan says, before the season started, I'd said I'd be happy with a 12th place finish, but the way things are going, there are great things to come. Tom Cowley says, this season I don't think there's much between a comfortably safe team and a top 10 / top 8 team, which, yeah, I think that's fair. I don't think the points difference between 16th and 10th will be much at all. Paul Cummins says, 10th or 12th, I'll be very happy. Talk to me about Emi Martinez, who's a goalkeeper that probably is potentially good enough. I'm not saying that Leno is a poor goalkeeper, but I think he's good enough that he could be starting for Arsenal this season. How smug do you think he'll be tonight with a clean sheet at his old club?
Oh, he'll be proper chuffed, won't he? Especially when John McGinn played a hostile pass to him that undo the high momentum start that Villa had made. Yeah, I think it's... like I said, Villa have still conceded a lot of goals in recent weeks. So the clean sheet will be massive. Massive, yeah. For him. Massive for the confidence of the back four in front of him. I actually think... I know you've asked me about Martinez, but I actually think Douglas Luiz was brilliant again today.
Yeah.
Just as the kind of... I don't know, because the disruptor, really... I just thought he was kind of all over the place, getting a foot in and disrupting anything Arsenal wanted to do. And not only that, now, when Luiz is winning the ball, Villa can spring fast, and it's not just Jack Grealish.
Yes.
It's Jack Grealish, it's Ross Barkley, it's Watkins. You know, Trezeguet came back in tonight, and I thought he was decent. That first goal, I thought, was absolutely magnificent, to be
fair.
Is this
the first goal that wasn't a goal, or the actual first goal?
No, the actual goal that was given, the one Trezeguet stroke Saka combined for. I just thought
they were all good goals, I thought.
Yeah,
I thought every goal was a good finish.
I thought the patience, the way that Grealish and Ross Barkley, just it was like a kind of cat toying with a mouse.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was like we were toying with Arsenal, yeah.
Down that left-hand side, and that little reverse pass... That's the kind of pass that Jack Grealish plays, the reverse pass that Barkley played into target for the cross of, you know, for the drilled ball across the box. It was just you know, it was really, really easy on the eye. It was really great to see.
Yeah, all the goals, like I said, Villa look like they can really turn it on at times and be really, really special. That first goal in particular, like you say, we were toying with Arsenal. Barkley and Grealish, very patient, very measured, every ball they play. I think Barkley surprised me a little bit. I knew he was a good player, but he's better than I thought he was, especially considering how much of a... He's not had a difficult time at Chelsea, but he's not had the best couple of years, has he, since his Everton days. He surprised me to just how good he is on the ball, I think. Grealish is no surprise. I don't know which goal it was. I think it was the second. Martinez throws it out to Grealish, who picks it up in his own half, runs with pace and power, and slots it through to Watkins, I think. He cuts it across the goalkeeper. Villa just...
Third, I believe, sir.
Was that the third? Villa are just a good side. When they can turn it on and they're focused and they don't make silly mistakes, we're a good side this year, and... It's a fine balance between getting carried away and appreciating how good we are, and that is difficult because it's very easy as a Villa fan, just after we've watched us beat Arsenal 3-0 away 10 minutes ago, to sit here and get carried away. But Villa are good. It's how I'll end it, and I'm very happy with the way things are going.
Are you going to call it? Is that what you're going to call this? Is that the working title? This Villa are good, aren't they?
Yeah.
So Watkins now, he obviously scored a brace today. That's taken him to... By my
six in the league
goals, but that's eight goals in 10 appearances in all competitions.
Yeah,
and I don't want to pick on poor Wesley, but Wesley got 6 goals in 22 competition.
Good stat. You've prepared some stats.
Listen, I know three of them came in one match, two of them came in another match, but that doesn't undermine the fact that three of them were against Liverpool and two of them were against Liverpool. And his first goal, you know, he's brave not only to put his head in amongst the bodies, but to actually head a volleyed cross from Ross Barkley as well.
Yeah.
I think we've said this before, haven't we? But it's just that mobility, I think, that he offers. He can work the channels. He can hold the ball up. I mean, there's a time in the first half where I think he got a free kick for it in the end, but he just kind of took the ball out of the sky on his chest. He can be big and strong. He can be mobile. But the thing that I like about him is when there's any opportunity, he's straight in the box. You know what I mean? Whereas Wesley probably loitered a little bit more, did so much of his work outside the box that he was knackered, didn't get in the box enough. I think Watkins is the more complete player.
Yeah. Just to play devil's advocate, there's a good comment here from Ramon who says, would Wesley in this team have more opportunities than he did in a struggling Villa last year? I think that's probably quite fair.
I think that's fair. And I think over the course of the season, I think we'll probably see Wesley and see what he can do in this team. You know, it might not be till the new year now. And it's probably going to be for the last kind of 15, 20 minutes of games when Watkins tires potentially, although he hasn't shown any.
I was going to say, he doesn't show that, does he?
He's shown many signs of tiring yet, but it is a fair point, isn't it? Because, you know, previously Wesley would have relied on Jack Grealish to beat 7 players and to, you know, put the ball on a sixpence for him, whereas Villa now have creative outlets in different parts of the team. So it is a fair point, and I think we'll test that theory when Wesley's fit and well.
I think his hold-up play is something that I didn't quite realise he was that good at. Obviously, I judged him a little bit on YouTube compilations of him scoring 26 goals for Brentford, and they don't really show his hold-up play in a YouTube compilation. It's not sexy, is it, hold-up play? But
you've hit upon a niche there. Maybe you should start doing that.
Yeah, maybe.
Ball bouncing off people's chests.
I could do with less work, though, so if you don't mind, I won't take up that. But yeah, his hold-up play is a lot better than I thought it was. I thought he'd be a bit more of a... It's a lazy analysis because we've seen him play now, but before we signed him, I thought he'd be a little bit more of a Darren Bent type, that he'd always be on the shoulder, he'd always be in the 6-yard box, kind of hanging around and might not offer much else. But because he's played out wide and does have to work hard from time to time, I think he's built up that in his game. And today, and it wasn't the last two games, so obviously we've not played great, but there's been a couple of games this season already where I thought, actually, his hold-up play is very good and he helps us link up midfield and striker very well.
Yes.
I was going to make another point there, but I forgot now because I thought you were going to talk a little bit more. I hate it when you do that. Can you not?
He's gone cold. I just want to get the last dregs of it.
What do you think is his? We've said this before. This is a common phrase. What do you think his ceiling is, Ollie Watkins? How many goals do you think he can get in the league?
He's probably got a bit of Artex on there. And, how many goals can he score? Well, he's well on the way, isn't he? He's got six in seven. Is that right? Six in seven in the
Six in seven. Yeah.
So,
He's on record for about 30 and 38 then.
Yeah, right. That's it, yeah. 37 and 38, I think. I think he's got to aim for 20. I'd have said, I said 15 goals in all competitions when he signed.
Really?
And he's already halfway there.
Yeah.
So I think he's got to look for 20, hasn't he? You know, but imagine that. Villa striker scoring 20 goals in the Premier League. I said it's unheard of, but Benteke got pretty close, didn't he, to be fair? But yeah, I think he's got to aim for 20. I think it's possible. I think it relies on him staying fit. It relies on him scoring a couple more hat-tricks against the big boys, or a couple of more braces. But why not? You know,
yeah.
Listen, I'll set the ceiling as high as possible for individual players. For Villa, I want to keep my feet on the ground. I want to, you know, if Villa finish 12th or above now, I'll be delighted. But if Watkins finishes with anything less than 20 goals, I'll be really, really angry with him.
Really? I know you're joking a little bit. Did you actually think that 20 is realistic?
I think it's a realistic ambition to strive for.
Is that in all competitions or just the Premier League?
Well, there's only Premier League and the FA Cup left now, isn't there?
Yeah, but if we get to the Cup Final, he could score a hatful in there.
I'll tell you what, if he gets us to the Cup Final, I'll let that cat walk. If we get knocked out in the semis, it's league there, don't
we? I think if he got 15 goals in the Premier League, even with up 6 already, I still think that would be a decent season for him, for a first season in the Premier League, if he got to 15.
I think actually scoring 8 goals in his first 10 games, I think he can be proud of himself regardless of what happens now. But,
yeah,
you know, he's on pens as well, isn't he? So
that's true, yeah. And he wasn't at Brentford.
Is that right?
Yeah, he didn't. Well, in the goal compilation I saw where he scored 26, not one of them was a penalty.
What about in the holding it up compilation?
that was a 40-minute video. I sat through him just chesting it down. It was like sexy.
I'd like to see a video of failed Panenkas. I think that would bring me
back. Oh, God. Did you see that Fulham one yesterday, just off topic? In the 96th minute or whatever it was.
That's what put it in my mind, yeah. It's hilarious. You know what else I watched last night?
Go on, hit me.
Gremlins. Have you seen Gremlins?
I don't think I have, you know.
Have you not seen it?
I don't think so. I've heard of it. Actually, no. Have I? Oh, I don't know. I don't think I have.
You want to watch it? We're going through a habit of watching 80s films and stuff, or older films with
kids.
Actually, while I'm on the subject of Gremlins, I've never met, until my daughter showed me last night, she could do this, I've never met anybody who can do the, what's his name, Matt? Gremlins now, the cute one? Gizmo? Listen to this name. I'm going to do my Gizmo, and when you're finished at the end of this, see if you can see how good it is.
Okay. You've been watching the Claret and Blue podcast, brought to you by Bang Alive.
That is brilliant. That is brilliant. You watch Gremlins now on Amazon or Netflix or whatever. When you're done, £3.50 to hire it, £5 to buy it.
Put it on expenses. Research.
Anyway, wandered off track. Where were we?
There's a lot of people saying Gremlins is a great film. Gizmo is so cute. You can't watch Gremlins. It's not Christmas, apparently. So
it is a Christmas film, to be fair, but it's nearly Christmas, isn't it?
Everyone's saying that was very good. Wow, okay. Straight over my head. I'm here for the football. I'm here for the serious football chat. We've had a couple of serious conversations over the last few podcasts, and now you're back, and it's all gone to nonsense. Talk to me about Ross Barkley, because I've said that he was surprising. He surprised me how good he is. My dad said, how is he not back in the England squad yet? And I just said, Gareth Southgate. Also, Jack Grealish, again, excellent. How he's not starting every single game for England, as we know and as we've said before, is a travesty. Two excellent players for Villa.
Blessed, aren't we? We're blessed to have both of them.
That midfield is excellent. Luiz, McGinn, Grealish and Barkley, and then Watkins on form as well. Trezeguet works hard. That front six is very strong now.
Yeah, I got temporarily annoyed with McGinn. He gave that pass up when he, you know, gave that dodgy back pass, and he sprayed a kind of left to right ball as well that got cut out. And I thought, is he going to have one of those ones? And then he just kind of switched. Well, he'd already had a goal disallowed by then, so I'm being harsh, but he switched back on again. I think the fact that Barkley and Grealish are that kind of fluid and have that much guile and craft going forward and energy, and I think Douglas Luiz has that much kind of desire to cover ground and to get Villa, you know, to get the opposition out of possession and get Villa into possession, that McGinn, probably, who I thought was, for the first couple of months of last season, was one of Villa's best players before he dipped and then before he got injured. I think McGinn, it's weird that McGinn still plays well and was probably Villa's fourth best midfielder.
Yeah. That shows how much our standards have raised, though, hasn't it?
Brilliant, but that's what you want, isn't it? You know, and, you know, with respect to Nakamba and Harahan and so on, well, I suppose those two.
I think that's it, isn't it?
It's those two, really. They're not going to get in that team, are they? You know, not on the current form of the players in possession of the shirt. You know, obviously we hope they stay fit. Hope they all stay fit and suspension free.
Yeah.
But it's great to see. But I think it was. I don't think there was a bad performance, was there, tonight?
No, not at all. I think it'd be easier. It'd be more difficult to pick out somebody who didn't perform tonight. You could sit here all day and go, Grealish was this, Barker was that, Trezeguet played well, Watkins. I think Watkins was given man of the match. He was being interviewed at the end of the game, and he's an Arsenal fan, and his family are Arsenal fans, and he said something like, my granddad and Uncle Baz won't be happy with me tonight, but I'm delighted to get the goals and to get the win for Villa. The usual cliches, but... Yeah, he seems a nice guy. We've said this before, haven't we, about Ollie Watkins. He just seems like a nice guy, a good footballer, and for what is it, 26 million? Looks a fair price, or if not, a bargain.
Yeah, I think he's got his head on his shoulders, hasn't he? I think coming through the kind of...
Good character.
At Exeter and Brentford, I think, has shaped him into being a kind of a good human being, as well as an excellent footballer. And, you know, tough luck, Uncle Baz, you know.
Oh, I love it. I asked you off air before we started of something I wanted to talk about, and I'm thinking of the best way to phrase this without sounding mental and without sounding like I'm getting carried away, but again, it's football, this is what happens. When we've played well against Leicester and Liverpool, people outside of Villa will maybe look at that and think that's Villa in a blip, that those are the freak results, beating good sides like Leicester and Liverpool. Now we've beat Arsenal as well. Is it not fair to maybe suggest that Villa's blips were Southampton and Leeds, and that Villa being poor is a blip now rather than the reverse? I'm not saying that we're going to go out there and beat everybody, because that would be foolish. But rather than looking at it as Villa playing well and going, oh, well, they just had a good day against a poor Liverpool side, a good day against a poor Arsenal side, is it not maybe that Villa are actually a good side this year and losing to Leeds and Southampton, although two good sides, let's not forget, those are the blips, and Villa's bad days are the things that are maybe a bit more of a freak? Or am I just getting a bit carried away?
I think it's still a very narrow sample, isn't it? You know, it's still only seven games in, and the next two games I think are interesting. I've just been glancing down the fixture list, and it's
next three.
I haven't got down to the third one. Brighton at home, West Ham away.
And then Newcastle.
And Newcastle at home. So... I don't know. I don't think Villa will go over the course of the season smashing and being smashed. I think something will. I think something will even itself out as we go along. But the thing for me is that they've got ways. They've got more than one way to hurt teams now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've just been checking Ash's player ratings, and he's give Grealish 9.5, which I don't think it Grealish. Well, I thought they were all kind of probably eights or nines anyway. I think Ash's marks reflect that. But to me, it's how can the defence... To me, it's the defence, because the more... If Villa kept a clean sheet every week, I don't think there'd be many occasions when they would fail to score.
Yeah.
But no matter how good Leeds are on the break, Southampton one was a bit of a freak one for me, because... They were just kind of... It's not
every goal was unbelievable.
Corner. It's a bit like when we beat Liverpool and it was deflections galore. I know Villa would have won that match anyway, because they scored enough goals that weren't deflected. Southampton was a bit of a freak one, but if Villa were going to lose, let's lose kind of 1-0 or 2-1 rather than conceding threes and fours.
Yeah.
But in answer to your original question, I would like to think that the Villa that wins and wins comfortably is the real Villa than the Villa that concedes 4 or 3 goals at home in successive games. But we'll see. I think I'd even say as far as the next 4 games, I look further down the fixture list. And it's Wolves.
Is it Wolves? Yeah.
Since Villa returned to the Premier League a year after Wolves, they've had the measure of us, haven't they? You know, pretty much every game, a couple of times, you know, embarrassingly so. So I'd like to see what this Villa team can do now against Wolves.
Currently above Wolves as well at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, Villa should have probably better ambitions than finishing above Wolves.
But if we did finish above Wolves, traditionally, that means we'll probably end up in the top 7 or 6, so it's not a bad target.
You say traditionally, we're two divisions above them about 4 years ago.
Yeah,
points on recent evidence, yeah.
To be fair, we might have been 3 divisions above them at one point, Premier League and League. Oh, no, that's 2. My math is poor. Just to go back to what you just said about Villa kind of being good all over, Luke Evans just said that, said before that McGinn's got 4 assists and 1 goal. I'm surprised. I didn't realise he got 4 assists already. Could have got 2 goals as well if tonight had have stood. It's not the Jack Grealish show anymore, is it? And that's the biggest thing. And it wasn't really, I was going to say it wasn't really last season, but it probably was at times. But now Ollie Watkins can score goals, John McGinn can contribute, Douglas Luiz looks good, Barkley has added a different dimension, Jack Grealish again has stepped it up a level this season, Trezeguet will contribute, will get goals from the defenders at set pieces. Villa look a more rounded unit for the first time, and there might not be much after that first 11 in terms of squad players to bring on. Again, I don't think we made a substitution tonight.
He came on, didn't he?
Oh, he did, yeah. I think he only got 5 minutes though. And I think it might have been already 3-0 at that point. But yeah, regardless, last week we were saying it's a bit strange that Villa haven't made subs to change the game at 3-0 down at Southampton. But tonight we haven't made any subs either because I don't think there's that depth behind the first 11. But that first 11 does look strong now. And it looks like a new Villa that we're not used to and one that we've probably not seen for 10 years, maybe. Villa having a strong unit of a first team.
I'm just thinking, what was the last time Villa were competitive in the Premier League? And I don't even mean challenging for Europe. I mean, how does this squad compare to the one from Houllier?
I think this squad
Houllier
is
the cliché.
I think this is better. I think.
Do you? Because that's, you know, you've got.
I think the players were that we had then, I might be misremembering who was still there then, but I think you had players heading past their peak. I don't know whether that is accurate and whether I'm just misremembering. Older players kind of winding down their career, whereas I think the average age now is 24.
Defensively, because you'd have your Collins, lots of Collins and Dunn, Friedel, but, you know, in the forward areas, you'd have
Darren Bent.
You'd have Darren Bent, Ashley Young, Stuart Downing, who was still a bit older, but approaching around their prime. I mean, they both went for Man United, and Milner had gone by then, hadn't they? But yeah,
Milner gone, yeah.
The fact that we're even having this conversation suggests that we think that in the space of 1 season and 7 matches, Villa have from newly promoted to a team that has already been better than the Paul Lambert era, the Tim Sherwood and the Remy Gard era, probably. But they need to be better, otherwise they wouldn't be in the division. But to me, and again, I don't like to make too many massive assumptions on just a handful of games.
Yeah.
To me, that's quite a turnaround, to be honest. A team that was promoted from the Championship, was it ahead of schedule? I don't know. Probably was ahead of schedule with the situation that Dean Smith inherited, if not the squad he inherited. To get that team and to evolve with a fair bit of cash spent into the team that we saw tonight and that we've seen in recent weeks. It's exciting, isn't it? It's a really impressive turnaround. And I don't think as Villa fans we could have hoped for a lot more than what we've seen right now.
I think it's wise to say that I think the best way to judge that will be the end of this season. If Villa finish 16th and we fizzle out, then yeah, you can't make comparisons with previous squads. But people are saying this is the best squad we've had since early 2000s or late 90s. Some people are saying 95, 96. Someone says it's the best squad we've seen this century.
<I'm> not,
what is this century? Is that 2000 onwards? Yeah, I guess it is, isn't it? People say in the Julio year, but then someone says we finished ninth in the Julio year, which is probably a false position because that side underperformed for the vast majority of that year.
The best side. Can it possibly? I think it's a bit of a leap to say it's the best side since 1996.
Yeah, I wouldn't agree with that. I think that Martin O'Neill's peak era of Gareth Barry and Milner and Young and Carew and Richard Dunn and people like that, I think that's probably the best side, because that side finished sixth in the Premier League. If this side does similar things, then
that's 3 years in a row. I would say is this side has the capacity to be easier on the eye.
Yes, than more likeable,
because they were quite functional, and you know, I know they'd got bits of flair in the form of Ashley Young and Milner and so on. But I think this, in terms of the aesthetic pleasure that they can bring, let's compare the two when this team's finished sixth in the league three times in a row.
Yeah, I just want to finish with those three games that you mentioned that are coming up next, and I want people in the comments to leave a comment as well. People in the comments to leave a comment, obviously, points tally. God, I'd love to be able to speak. Points tally for those three games. It's late. I'm tired. Brighton, Newcastle, and West Ham. The next three games for Villa. Now, on paper, with the start Villa have had, Brighton played good football, to be fair. You would look at those and think Villa could win all three there. And again, I'm at risk of getting carried away suggesting that Villa are going to win what would that be? 10 out of 8 out of 10 or whatever it is, I don't know. My knowledge is falling apart at this point, but I would suggest on paper Villa could get all 9 points there. I think realistically 7 is probably more achievable, but I'd probably take 6 as well, because I think Newcastle and possibly West Ham could leave us a little bit unstuck against Bruce and Moyes.
Yeah, let's go for 6 because we don't do draws.
That's true.
I don't know which one. I'm not sure which one we'd lose, but I'd take 6 out of those.
You
know,
I would take 6 as well.
It would keep us ticking along quite nicely, wouldn't it?
That's the wrong one.
Having said that, you'd back Villa to beat all of them, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. If Villa are going to be a side that finish 8th or above, we have to learn to be relentless and back this up now with another win. It's all well and good losing to Leeds and Southampton, then going to the Emirates and getting a clean sheet and going, right, Villa are back, international break, regroup, focused, let's go again. But then if we go and lose to Brighton, you kind of go, oh, what was the point? You want to go and back that up now by beating Brighton, then go to West Ham and then Newcastle and then a local derby against Wolves, and then who knows where you can go. There's a lot of comments coming in saying 9 points, so maybe I'm not the only one getting carried away. There's a lot of nines. Someone says 8 if you count the Wolves game as well. 9, 5 points, maybe 7, 9, 7, 9. Okay, fair enough. I'm not the only one then. I like that. I like a bit of confidence. I know I always get a bit carried away, and you always say, let's not get carried away and let's be a little bit more realistic maybe. But it's nice to get carried away, isn't it? Why not?
I don't want to come across to Kevin Keegan, but I would love it if we beat Newcastle in style.
So
just to kind of show Steve Bruce that you know, this is what a real kind of fluid...
That'll be difficult, though.
Attack-minded, kind of flair-based team looks like. I'd take a great deal of satisfaction from that.
It'll be hard to break them down.
We've got two more games before it, haven't we? So I'm probably getting ahead of myself.
Someone's just said that 9 points is realistic.
It is realistic. It's realistic. Villa have beaten some top teams already. You know, so it's not beyond the realms of possibility. I mean, you know, Christ, what happens if they win the next three games and we're doing our one of these after the third game? What am I going to say now? Am I going to say 11th? You know, am I going to...
Well, when we're setting targets of, what, 30-odd points to reach for, if we win the next three, we'd be on 20... 24. Just get my fingers out. We'd be on 24 already, so we're only 10 points worse off than last season already. So the further this goes on, the longer we can't just go, oh, well, it's a good start, but we'll see what happens. We'll reassess a few games down the line. I seriously think, and like I said earlier, if we finish 15th now, as I said at the start of the season, that I'd be happy with. I would now be unhappy with finishing 15th. Obviously, Premier League survival is the be-all and end-all, but I think this side is good enough to finish 12th, maybe top half, maybe better if everything goes our way. And that's pretty much where I'll end it, I think.
Before you do end it, do you know what I really enjoyed tonight? I enjoyed that slip from Tierney. It reminded me, do you remember when the old David Dunn drag back and spin that they used on the Sky Plus adverts for years for Blues against Villa? It reminded me of that. I do take delight in stupid little moments like that.
Just before we go, there's a comment here from Chris Jones that is interesting, saying another international break at the wrong time. Is there such a thing as a bad time for an international break when you've just won, or is it an opportunity for us to really settle in and assess what worked and hopefully take that over to the next game? Or would you like to be playing again in 4 days or whatever?
I don't know. To be fair to kind of the football authorities, it's hard to plan the international calendar around Villa's form. I quite like this. Give you a kind of insight into my stupid head. I quite like being able to gloat for a couple of weeks.
I do as well.
Puts a spring in my step for a couple of weeks. Yeah. In terms of Villa, I know it's not all about me. In terms of Villa, I don't know. I really don't know whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, to be honest. I think if Villa are at it, it doesn't matter whether they've had a 2-week break or whether they've had a 3-day break, to be honest.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think the fact that what I would say, I don't think international breaks should be treated as a negative for Villa, given the fact that Smith is using probably 12 or 13 players maximum.
Yeah.
Certainly for the first couple of weeks of the season. So I don't think it hurts to get these bits of respite in. So I don't know about momentum, but I'll gladly look at Villa kind of 3 points off the top of the table. You know, 5 wins from 7. It's amazing, isn't it, really? It's quite...
it is. There's an interesting comment here that I will get out of here at some point, but when the comments keep coming through, it just sparks a little thought process, which is rare for my brain. Paul says, if we were talking about any other team, you would say they're contenders for a European place, so why not think that about Villa? But then he says that, and I'll flick back and look at the Premier League table and see Southampton in fourth and think, they won't keep that up. They won't finish in the top six. So I look at Southampton, who are 1 point better off than us and 2 places higher, and think, oh, they'll fade off. So I think, how can then I sit here and go, oh, yeah, but Villa will finish in the top six? I think that table will still even out to the usuals at some point, I think. I don't know whether that's being negative or not. So it's hard to say. Oh, if it was someone else, you'd be going, oh, yeah, they're nailed on for Europe, because I don't think it's as easy as that, because I don't feel that way about Southampton being up there.
Do you think let's test the theory. Do you think Manchester United will finish above Villa?
Oh, that's a good question. Let me scroll down. Where are they now?
You have to keep scrolling 10. For a while, mate.
Yeah, right down the bottom. They're on 10. I mean, they're only 5 points behind. So, yes, I think they probably will, because I think they'll probably get rid of Solskjaer and be much better.
Do you think Manchester City will finish above Villa?
Yes.
Do you think Arsenal will finish above Villa?
Arsenal is an interesting one. It depends where yes, I think they will. I think Villa will finish 10th.
So I'm going to say, so I've already kind of knocked Villa, typical kind of positive me, I've already knocked Villa down 3 places, but if you think all those 3 are going to get above them. But the further you look down, and I know it's only 7 or 8 games in, but how many others? Well, you know.
I think 10th. I think the usual top 6 or 7 will be up there. Wolves will be up there. Everton will be up there. I don't think Palace will be up there. Nor West Ham, nor Newcastle. Yeah, maybe 9th then. Maybe 8th. I don't know. People are, now the comments are coming through saying that I'm being negative. So, yeah, maybe I've gone a bit one way. Too much positive, then too much negative in the same podcast. But I look at the usuals there that aren't up there at the moment. Arsenal, Man City, Wolves in 11th, 10th and 9th. Man United down in 14th. I think they'll all be up in that top 8. So how much room does that leave for someone else to finish below them?
But having said that, sorry, silly me, I'm promoting the also-rans into the top 10. But Southampton, like say, Southampton and Palace could fall out. So
yeah, it's all nothingness, isn't it, at this point to try and guess where we'll all finish 7 games into a season. But I still think. I'd be happy if you offered me now. Villa will finish 12th and win more games than they lose and have played good football. I would say, okay, I'll take that. I think it's possible for Villa to finish in the top 10. I don't think it's possible for Villa to finish in Europe, I think, this season. But I don't think we're a million miles away from it. That's my assessment. Thanks for watching. what are these comments saying? We do need to get out of here at some point, but it's quite addictive seeing all the comments come through. Stop that. It's so annoying. I'm putting you on mute. That's annoying. I can't hear you. I don't care. Roy says 10th. Alan says 10th. Let's finish top six, but push for top four. See, this is what I mean. A top four. That's mental. But yeah, everyone's opinions is allowed. So that's fair enough. What do you think then? If you've got to put a number on it, where do Villa finish?
Mate.
Yes. You're not on mute now. So
you're muted, mate.
Yeah.
I'd be happy if they avoid relegation. I think, look, the way that the table's opened up early doors, I think they probably could finish in the top eight or nine. I'm with you. I'd take 12th name. I just want to, and I keep saying this, I just want to be back in. I just want to be back in Villa Park. I'm getting sad now. really getting on my nerves. Bad enough.
Do you think we'll be in Villa Park for 2021?
Say it again.
Do you think we'll be back inside Villa Park for the end of 2021 season? The end of this season? I don't think we will.
Why don't they just, market like loads of kind of, you know how you can get the masks, like the Villa mask and stuff? Why don't we just all have big hazmat suits now? Go back to life the way it was.
You know those big, those big like Zorb ball things where you like, bounce off people? Can we just go in them and sit like 10 seats apart and just be in this massive bubble? That'd be quite
fun. Imagine doing that, getting to the match, just kind of bouncing down the M5, M6, going that way.
Yeah, imagine a goal celebration, everyone bouncing off each other. Oh, that'd be great. Somebody get those marketed up. I'm calling it. Let's get out of here now. We say when we do these, before we start, a little behind the curtain for everybody, we go, should we keep this around 20 minutes, 25 minutes? Just go over the basics, try and keep the nonsense down. Here we are, whistling tunes from old 80s films, and 46 minutes later, and we're still here on a Sunday night. So I'm going to call it there. We've got 600 people watching, so thank you very much for everyone who's tuned in live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter this evening. If you're watching this after the fact or listening on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts, please do leave us a review. We do appreciate all your support, and we'll be back at some point during the international break with some general chit chat, and then back again for the Brighton game, which I believe is the next fixture. So thanks, Matt, for joining me. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. And we'll be back soon.
Thank you for listening to Claret and Blue, an Aston Villa podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, then please let us know. We love hearing your feedback. We'll be back soon with another episode. Until then, up the Villa.